Live from the R&R Studios in the good old friendly city, it's the Boys from the Wheel podcast.
What is going on, guys? Welcome into the R&R Studios for the Boys from the Wheel podcast. Now, joining me today is just two of the boys. Chris is hanging out at the lake and DeMuth is hanging out at his house. Jordan. What can you tell the people why you're hanging out at the house?
Well, when a man and woman, you know, goes and feeds, you know,
knew that was coming.
Or somebody decides to drop a Randy Savage elbow from the top rope. happens, and then 9 months later, boom! A little bundle of joy came in about 2.5 weeks ago. And like I told Jeff a second ago, she hasn't been really a bundle of joy the last 2 days.
Well, she's making up for the whole time that she was.
So. Yeah, I know. 2 weeks. It was great. She was sleeping 3 or 4 hours at a time. It was great. Last 2 days, I feel like a better cow.
So, guys, that's why we haven't been able to been on. I was in Florida for a week. Jordan just had his baby. Chris just ran an ultra, which... My goodness, my man, how are you feeling after that? And you've had a couple races after that. You have to be dead.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the soreness and everything's gone away, but unfortunately, you know, my times and stuff have suffered pretty bad. But, you know, getting back to it now, getting back to what the message is for. And, you know, I got to about mile 45, and, you know, at those types of races, there, you know, there was a 50-miler, too, and I thought about it that possibly, all right, you know, off the 50, but then I started thinking about them families and the message that sends to them. You know, those girls can't take a time out. They can't, you know, stop when the ad starts enough. One of the best feelings in the world crossing that finish. Obviously a lot of pain. I could joke about it now, but I actually had to get wheeled out of the hotel the next morning because I literally walk after
that. I bet. I mean, as long as you, oh my goodness, as long as you ran, yeah. And as far as you ran, I mean, that's just takes a toll on your body, but you're constantly training as much as you do, and you know, you were prepared for it as much as you could be. I don't know how much more you could ask out of your body. I mean, that's severely pushing the limits of your body.
You know, when you said 45 mile mark, it made my heart want to explode.
And I mean, and that's the craziest thing. And because I was up against some professional runners in that one that have done multiple 100Ks. And this was my first and only, I may add. But for the first few laps, I was actually leading. And everything felt good. And it's just for some reason, I hit that mile 45 and it's just like my body just started shutting down. And, you know, and that's when the thoughts really started kind of coming in. And but thankfully, you know, I had the support of you guys, all my friends and everybody that was there. All the messages and stuff just kept coming in. Thankfully, I was able to cross that finish line. It's definitely my last 100K, but I'll be 100% honest. I don't know if that's going to be the last ultra. There are some lower distances in the ultra, so I got to be honest. I don't know if that's going to be the last, but definitely the last 100K, and, you know, something I'll always remember.
Quit hitting yourself. All you do is live, breathe, and run. You're going to fucking run another one.
People don't even want to drive that, Chris. And you're running it. I mean, people don't even want to drive that far in cars. And you're like, eh, whatever, I'll run it. Whatever.
My fat ass doing that.
And I mean, it's just, you know, it's getting the message out there, you know, for families. One of the better ways that I can do it. You can pound social media so much and the internet and all that, but just getting the message out there by doing something really where it gets through. And like I said, we're doing everything we can to get down to Houston, anywhere, right in their backyard. And it's going to mean a lot. And yeah, I mean, this is what I do it for, and I'm going to do it as long as I can. And yeah, all the support from you guys and everybody, man, it's phenomenal. So I really appreciate it. But, yeah, get a couple weeks off here and be back at it. I think it's July 29th is my next one. So some time to recover, train hard, and get back to it.
There you go. I mean, that's every time we talk to you, you're either talking to us or training or, you know, whatever. So, also, Chris, if people follow you on social media and things, they're starting to see a little bit of soccer going on. We're doing some soccer games here lately. I tell you what, we talked about this before we hopped on the air. Sound pretty good, my man. I know nothing about the sport at all. I couldn't do it. There's no way. I'll stick with you on football side, but as far as the actual football goes, man, you sound great. I like the way they do their production. I like the Highlanders. I like it. I like the whole package. It's a pretty cool experience to watch.
And then you add in fantastic people that goes with that, and that's what it is. It starts at the top with head coach Ryan Wall and everything he's done, but then the players have been so receptive to me, especially some of these, you know, guys that are coming from other areas that it is a little harder to pronounce their names, but they really, you know, I go out and do my best to make these guys superstars on the air and everything, and they do the same in return, and you know, they tell me how much they appreciate it. That's what it's all about. But this is a great team. They are 6-0-2 on the season, number one in their division. They've actually clinched the division title with one more game to go. So yeah, we'll see that, you know, there could be another team bringing the championship back to Wheeling, West Virginia, and this team could absolutely do it.
That's awesome. Well,
they play at the Highland Sports Complex, correct?
Yeah, they have two homes, one down in East Wheeling there at that awesome facility down there. And then they do play up at the Highlands too. So it's two great facilities, and you get the talent that you have there. It's just been amazing. And I mean, they've been virtually unstoppable. And it's been the road that's tripped them up a little bit, which we know that from sports. It's always harder to win on. But as a team, they're almost virtually unbeatable at home.
I tell you what, the production value, man, like the highlights and the angles and the different like camera angles and perspectives that they have, and then you throw your voice on top of it, it's really cool. If you guys get a chance to check out their highlights, they're all over YouTube. Chris has been sharing them and stuff, but man, check them out on social media. Do you know their handles offhand, Chris?
WV Highlanders FC on Instagram and Twitter. They are on Facebook too. But also a huge shout out to Jonathan Burkhart and his team. You and I have got to work with him with St. Clairsville football. Kind of got a little dose of what he could do there, but just everything with the production. Him, Casera, and the rest of his team, fantastic job. So, yeah, if you guys can, I mean, unfortunately, they don't have any home games left, except for, you know, maybe when it comes around to the playoffs here. But get out and see them. Absolutely check them out. Just a phenomenal team. And another great team to bring here to Wheeling, West Virginia.
That's awesome. Another sport for, you know, us to talk about and everything to get on. Chris, I know you've been busy and we haven't been able to sit down and watch too many games, arena games or indoor games. DeMuth and I were catching a couple games last night and just the craziness. Jordan, did you check out the last 3 minutes of the Duke City game last night?
Okay, so I'm going to be dead honest with you, Jeff. I had it on. But then it turned into me watching indoor lacrosse fighting videos.
Hey, I can't fault you for that.
Okay. I legitimately had the game on, and then I saw some dude from San Diego just pop some dude from Duke City. Blindside block, obviously, it's illegal. But it seemed like it was a really close game at that point. I think it was right around maybe mid to the end of third quarter. But other than that, I'm going to hand it to you because, like I said, I was watching dudes beat the shit out of each other.
It was insane. The last 3 minutes of the game was just utter chaos. The teams combined for over 100 points. Unbelievable game. Went down to the final play of the game and threw it right in the end zone, scored. Duke City is now guaranteed their spot in the playoffs. And I want to give a huge shout out to the man over my shoulder, which – he's up here, is Mr. Nate Davis, who had an injury, is coaching the offense of Duke City. And, man, the game plan that he came up with in those final 3 minutes to put points on the board and get his team into the playoffs, even though he can't do it with his arm, he did it with his mind and the way he calls plays and just his skill level of knowing the arena game is unbelievable. So big shout-out to him. Glad they got in the playoffs. They probably would have got in today anyways. Unfortunately, they would have it was all based on Arizona and Vegas. And I'm sorry, but I would be shocked if Vegas beat Arizona. It's not going to happen. The Rattlers are just way too powerful. But they would have gotten in that way either. But they took care of business on their own and won. So now they're in the playoffs. So we'll be trying to cover that as much as we can, the playoff-wise, because that's going to get just absolutely insane. For anybody that's been following along, some of the teams that surprised me is Northern Arizona. Unbelievable. Barely won, I want to say, 2 to 3 games last season as an expansion franchise, and they're running the table this year. I mean, they're just unbelievable. Haven't lost a home game all season long. Just unbelievable job by them. And three good teams Arizona has. Northern Arizona Wranglers, Arizona Rattlers, obviously, and then the Tucson Sugar Skulls. Just unbelievable franchises. I refer to it as the arena capital of the world, Arizona, because they have three really, really good teams in the IFL.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, you know, see something like that. And I mean, you look at what that program was when they were in the AFL, and you look at what they're doing and how long. I mean, that name is synonymous with any type of indoor football, is the Rattlers and everything they've been able to do. But going back to your point with Nate Davis, I mean, that dude has a football IQ like no other.
Oh, dirty, baby. Oh, dirty.
He had it when he played with Bel Air. He had it at Ball State. I mean, he took that program from one of the worst teams in the MAC to competing for a MAC championship. And look what he's doing in the indoor game right now. I mean, just you can't say enough great things about this guy. And then you have a guy like you mentioned. This is all Jeff. You know, he told me this before we got on, but I'm going to steal his thunder a little bit. But Ramon Aiken, you bring him in, and absolutely phenomenal. You mentioned New Mexico Highlands, so Division II product, so obviously I'm pretty excited about that, but just phenomenal what that team's doing down there. And
yeah, I mean, just unbelievable. I mean, Dello didn't make the trip, but he's the leading receiver in the IFL, and I swear to you, he's as tall as I am. Like, it's no joke. Like, so that just goes to show you, if you can play, you can play. It doesn't matter. Height, weight doesn't matter, especially in the arena game.
So is he the shortest that's ever played in the IFL?
I don't know if he's the shortest, but he's probably, I mean, if I played, I'd probably be the short. But
anyway. They'll have to.
But I mean, it's, I mean, that you just don't see that at wide receiver positions. You know what I mean? And to be really good as he is, I mean, he's led the IFL and you know, back to back years now in receiving. So I mean, he's, you know, he's getting it done. And kudos to him to get it done with a backup quarterback as well. And he's also missed a couple games. So, I mean, that's that's a testament to him and what he's able to do. But, yeah, it's good to see that team in the playoffs. And the IFL playoffs, they're going to get very interesting. There's some teams that, you know, right up there. Honestly, Frisco is just unbelievable. Billy Back has taken them over this season. And they are just unbelievable. What a good team. What a great bunch of players. A couple guys that we ran into, Chris, over the time. Laughing House is found his way. They picked him up late, but man, he can still go. I mean, he's one of those Billy Back boys that, you know, him and Jordan Jolly, they always hang out with him. So I mean, that's, you know, that's one thing with arena is they're your contracts, but you get those stables of coaches and players will follow them.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, Laughing House is a perfect example. And obviously, not the best situation last year with Jersey's White. But I mean, if you look at that roster, I mean, there is no reason that team should have been bottom of the league they had. And good for him to be able to get out there. And he's happy as hell. You know, I see him on social media, he's smiling on his face. But yeah, just a phenomenal player and just what an opportunity he has with them.
Yeah, so we'll stick on football here for a second. I do want to touch on, because everybody's been asking me about it, I do want to touch on the Baker Mayfield trade. I feel like it was just one of those things that, like, he had to be gone. You had to get rid of him. My full opinion coming from a 30-year Browns fan is you've already paid him. I understand I'm not taking away the talent that Deshaun Watson has, regardless of off the field. I'm talking about on field. The man is an excellent quarterback. He's a proven winner. My thing is, though, you've already paid Baker. You've picked up his fifth-year option. What you need to do is let him play this season and then make your decision based on this season. If he doesn't pan out, fine. Go your separate ways. Go a different direction. Send him on his way. Now you've completely undercut everything. You just paid him $10 million to try to beat you week one. Like, I don't know. I mean, you pay the man $10 million, which, you know, he was 18 guaranteed. He was 18 guaranteed, and he took a $3 million pay cut to go to Carolina because he just wanted out of Cleveland. I understand that. I get it. I really do. I feel like the whole situation was just bass-ackwards to me, honestly. Jordan, I could see it in your face. Come on, let me have it. Go ahead.
See, okay. Well, the Browns burned that bridge with Baker right after the season, pretty much. I mean, they burned it. So, I mean, and there wasn't a whole lot of speculation of him even going to Cleveland. The biggest thing was he was going to Atlanta. That was the biggest thing. He was going to Atlanta. Clowney said if he would have went to Atlanta, he was going to Atlanta too. And then it just all of a sudden it changed within what, 30 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, we were out of the Watson from Atlanta. We were out of the Watson sweepstakes there for a while, and they're like, okay, we're done, you know, whatever, what have you. And then boom, he's in Cleveland.
On top of that, then you're getting more information about the accusations, the civil suits, and everything. You're getting the protesters in Cleveland, and then you're seeing training camp videos where you can't even complete a pass.
I don't know. And everybody has asked me the same question. What do you think is going to happen from the quarterback position? And I give
Jacoby
everybody.
Jacoby Brissett, that's what.
Yeah. You paid guaranteed millions of dollars and traded away 3 years of first-round draft picks to start Jacoby Brissett. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, but here's my thing. So, I'll say this straight to anybody, and you guys know me. When it comes to play calling, I'm as old school as it gets. Run the football, play defense. Like, that's my game plan.
That's why you should be a defense fan.
Here's my thing. Whoever it is, if it's Brissett, or if it's, God forbid, if it's Dobbs. I mean, because we picked up Josh Dobbs, too.
Oh, God. I hope not.
Anyway.
I really hope not.
Here's my thing. If they can throw over 10 yards, which anybody is capable of doing, throwing over 10 yards and turning around and handing the ball off to 24 and 27 in the backfield, we've got a shot.
All right. And I 100% agree with you, and to throwing the ball to, especially like Hunt, out of the backfield. But your biggest flaw now, especially if Deshaun doesn't play at all this year, is why do you spend all that money and all those draft picks to get Cooper?
Well, and that's the thing. He's going to play. I mean, hell, I'd hate to say it. He's been with Dak Prescott. I mean.
Well, I'm just saying from a route standpoint.
Oh, I mean, no. I mean, I think, honestly, I have all the faith if Jacoby Brissett is the starter day one, which probably more than likely going to be. I have all the faith in the warden Jacoby Brissett, to be honest. He took a really bad Indianapolis Colt team to the playoffs. I mean,
their defense took them to the playoffs.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've got a decent.
I'm in the division, Jeff. I know.
I understand. We've got a decent defense as well, and that's the big thing I'm looking for is how long is it going to take Myles Garrett to take Baker's head off week one.
Well, let's just hope he doesn't throw a helmet at him either.
I mean, okay, one time, whatever. I mean, that's the
thing. Okay, and Mason Rudolph is a terrible, terrible football player.
Well, and that's another thing. How about Pittsburgh picking up Larry Okunjobi, who pushed Rudolph down and is now his teammate.
Well, no, wait. Isn't Rudolph technically number three right now? Are they going to keep three quarterbacks?
See, I don't know. If I'm them, I don't know if I do.
I mean, I would roll with – I honestly would roll with Pickett and Trubisky.
Yeah.
Honestly, if I was them.
Don't forget, they drafted the kid out of South Dakota State, too.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. They drafted quarterback.
Yeah.
And no offense, Mason Rudolph had his chance to prove himself, and he literally did not.
Man, I had all the faith in the world in that kid. Chris, I know you were just rolling your eyes right now, my man. But when that draft came out, I wanted him. I absolutely wanted him because I knew what he was capable of doing, and I knew he'd fit our offense. I was like, oh, come to Cleveland, we'll take you. Well,
which I mean, if you would put him in a right situation, he may thrive. But the one he was in Pittsburgh and the such little experience and him being basically thrown to the fucking wolves when he played.
Yeah.
I mean, he really never stood a chance. I mean, you're throwing him into games against your rivals, especially right off the rip against like Baltimore and Cleveland, who have ridiculously good defenses.
Right, and black and Pittsburgh blue division.
Has a terrible line. Yeah, and Pittsburgh has a terrible offensive line. Like, you set him up for failure. But I mean, but the best players in the league proceed through all that and find a way to do it. And he couldn't do it.
Well, and I mean, I think one of the biggest things was too, and this is something that Jeff and I even talked about when Mason got drafted. I said, look, he's used to saying, hey, James, go all the way downfield as fast as you can. I'm going to fucking launch it to you. Same thing. I mean, he had Blake Gilligan. He had Jelani Woods. Like, he had all these guys that could beat everybody down the field, and he just threw off the ball, and they caught it. That's the thing. He wasn't used to getting rid of the ball fast because he had a hell of an O-line. He had a hell of a receiver. Oh, and then you throw Justice Hill into the backfield as your safety. I mean, you know, there's just so much that he had going for him at Oak State, and I knew the Steelers was not going to be the right system. Him. When you have a team like the Browns that guys can get downfield and catch those long passes, maybe he would have worked out there. Maybe he wouldn't have. Like I said, love the kid, know him personally, but yeah, I mean, I think his tie, he's overstayed his welcome there.
Yeah, I just think it's funny that, you know, you look at that 2018 draft and Carolina now has the first and third pick and both are quarterbacks. And they're both fighting for the starting job.
Not even just that. They just drafted the kid out of Ole Miss, too.
Right. Honestly, though, if you have a quarterback problem, they're trying to figure it out. I mean, that's the thing. Honestly, I mean, did they kind of screw up with Donald, with his contract? Maybe. That's the thing. But they literally just paid, what, $4 million and got the first round draft pick out of the 2018 draft who, by the way, broke the rookie touchdown record his first year and then has a bad injury. So who knows? You know what I mean? He always plays better with a chip on his shoulder. So I said it before and I'll say it a million times. This season coming up will probably be his best season. Like he's going to go on a tear. He's going to prove everybody wrong. The next season will tell what kind of person he really is. Because once you take the chip off his shoulder, who is he? You know what I mean? When he was in college, he was a walk-on. So he constantly had that, you know, that chip on his shoulder. I was a walk-on. I'm this, you know, and I'm fighting, you know, this, that, and the third. When he was in Cleveland, oh, I played for the Browns, you know, worst team in the league, pretty much. You know what I mean? And then once it came around, oh, wait, Cleveland's contenders. They can do something. Nothing. The chip was gone, you know what I mean? Like, he wasn't making good decisions. The fire really wasn't there. I mean, I don't know.
Something happened after that championship game. Something happened.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Something happened after the AFC championship game.
Well, it was the get into the AFC.
Or the divisional.
It was the divisional round. Yeah, yeah.
But something happened after that. Something, I don't know if it was with the staff or something, but it just looked like he was not the same player at the start of the next year.
Yeah.
At all.
So I have a feeling that we're going to see the same Baker Mayfield that we've seen in Oklahoma. coming up this year. And I hate to say it, I really think if they beat us, he's going to beat us week one. That's going to be the thing. So we'll see. I mean, I looked at the schedule before, and I'm not going to lie. I looked at it and said, there's a really good shot here that we could go 2-0. Because our first two games are Carolina and then the Jets. So I'm like, really good shot here to go 2-0. Well, I don't know now. It's a wild card. Do you know what I mean?
You guys got that game. Tennessee's got the game with Philly, where I hope we just shove everything that A.J. Brown has said in his fucking mouth.
Yeah, I mean, it's
so bad. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. But it just all depends on your perspective and which fan you're from. But, I mean, and think about it, too. Last year, they were running with Sam Darnold. Who was it? Greer was there, too, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Will Greer. And then they brought in Cam.
Mm-hmm.
The later part of the year, because Darnold was hurt. And then now you got Darnold, Baker, and Corral there. So, I mean, are you going to basically redshirt Corral like they did Jordan Love his first year?
And that's another question. Where's Garoppolo going? I mean, where's he going to end up? Seattle, maybe?
I don't think they'll trade him within the division, though. That's the biggest thing.
Now that you say that, they'd have to like trade him out and then get him some other. I don't know.
Right. I mean, somebody even said, or I don't know if it was somebody, but I heard somebody talk about how Tampa was thinking about trading for him so he can take over for Tommy B when he retires after this year again.
Wouldn't that be a son of a bitch? I mean, you just got out of his shadow a couple years, and then, boom, you're backing his ass up again.
But the way things have been going with Tampa Bay, as soon as Tom says something, somebody's there.
Yeah, that's true.
And as soon as he says somebody's there, they're there. So, I mean, it all depends. Honestly, though, the team that makes the most sense is Seattle.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not really another team out there that I could see him immediately starting for, unless, let's say, Atlanta would want to come to the match, because you got Mariota and Ridder. And, I mean, Mariota, I mean, he was a starter at Tennessee, but he never really flourished like they thought he was going to. So, I mean, that could be another viable option, maybe.
That's going to be an interesting thing to see what Atlanta does with him. Maybe he finds his own. Maybe we see the old Marcus Mariota, which I would love to see. Dude was phenomenal.
I mean, I still go back to that wild card game back before Kansas City turned into what they are now, and the second half comeback, and he threw that pass, and they deflected it right back into his hands and scored a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, that's – I tell you what, I still have the burning memory of the 2014 freaking Rose Bowl. Oh, my God. Like, he's just carving Florida State up, man. And then, you know, he hit Iowa State in the championship game. But still, I mean, he was a buzzsaw in college. I'd love to see
him. I mean, it also didn't help that when he got drafted second overall behind Jameis in that draft, Tennessee, they were still, I mean, they were nowhere near what they are now.
Right.
I mean, nowhere near that. So, I mean, he walked into a buzzsaw in Tennessee. I mean, granted, he did carve up Tampa Bay and Jameis for 5 touchdowns in his very first game. But after that, he was injury prone. He was never really consistent with his throwing accuracy or power, consistently underthrowing guys. But, I mean, he was in Oakland the last 2 years, and they threw him in different formations. So, I mean, they could almost – I mean, if they would decide to go after Jimmy G, they could potentially do the same exact thing if they wanted to.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be crazy. See how that
– I mean, even the AFC Championship run, when Derrick Henry threw that past Corey Davis in the back of the end zone, they brought Marcus in literally just to stand at the extra receiver slot.
Yeah.
That's all he did was stand there.
Decoy. Yeah. I mean
– that's all he was. So, I mean
– I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, it's going to be crazy. All sports have been insane, you know. Hockey just got done, and we're already talking about deals already. And I mean, let's talk about it.
Can we talk about Stanley Cup first?
Go ahead, sure, absolutely.
Corey Perry's still a bitch.
Always will be.
Yep. That's
and
a good one.
I called it the last podcast we were on. I said, he's literally going to be the only motherfucker that goes to three straight Stanley Cups with three different teams and loses every single one of them. Every one. And not gonna lie, just his play, he's a fucking turd. I mean, he is. He's like a bigger version of Marchand. I mean, I don't know if you caught, there was like a scrum in front of the Colorado net, and obviously he was at the bottom of it, and he literally like put his knee right on some dude's like ankle or something when they were getting up.
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of fucking person is that? Like, I get it. Like, you're trying to be that thorn in somebody's side. But, I mean, to a certain extent, like, you also don't go and cross the crease of Darcy Kuemper and punch him in the fucking head.
Right. I mean, you can face wash somebody. There's a different ways of doing it. But, yeah, that's stupid.
And in all honesty, when that series started, I thought Colorado was sweeping Tampa. I mean, Tampa had no way to deal with their speed whatsoever in those first two games.
Well, I mean, we all called it. They were never in any immediate danger at all. I mean, Colorado had that series wrapped up. It didn't matter. They were cool, calm, collective. They knew what was going on. You would have thought they would have won, you know, back-to-back Stanley Cups because of the way they were handling everything.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, that's one of those things.
And it was well-deserved, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I mean, they had been in that pecking group that win the cup for so long, especially when you had McKinnon and Landeskog and Cale Makar. I mean, and they're so young. That whole team is so young.
Yeah, and they're going to be around for a while.
Yeah, and I mean, they just got what's his face from the sign from New York too. Goalie.
Oh, yeah, goaltender. Yeah.
Can't remember his name off the top of my head.
Russian name.
Go figure.
But regardless, I mean, they are set up for a while, especially with their roster being so young.
Yeah.
They're only paying really a handful of guys.
Right.
Like, really paying a handful of guys. And that's going to be Landeskog. That's going to be McKinnon. But, I mean, when their rookie deals are up, like Cale Makar or stuff like that, they're going to have to pay them guys. I mean, really pay them guys.
Yeah. So let's talk about it. Talk about the elephant in the room. Let's talk about paying the guys. Chris Letang gets a monster deal. Is he worth it?
I wouldn't really consider it a monster deal. I mean,
a defenseman, yeah.
I mean, no, not really. I mean, at 6.1 mil, is that what it was, 6.1?
Something like yeah.
Maybe. I mean, and like I said before, his biggest asset is he really is an Iron Man of a game.
Right.
I mean, he plays a lot of minutes every single game, anywhere up, like it's over 25 every game. So, I mean, to have a guy out there, I mean, granted, he does make some bad decisions. He does have some really bad turnovers. But then on the plus side, he does a really good job basically running as a point man on the power play. He's not a big guy, so it kind of sucks when you're trying to push somebody out in front of the net. But, I mean, from a fan standpoint, and especially with a wife that is a huge fan of Chris Letang, it's a very good thing that he stayed in Pittsburgh, or she would have been very, very pissed.
Well, there you go. It's nice to know that, you know, everything is good in your household with that.
But like I said, I mean, from a player standpoint, to be able to find a guy who can play that kind of minutes on every single night, and he doesn't ever really get, like, say, I just don't feel like playing today like fucking Malkin does. He'll just, like, scratch me. I don't feel like playing tonight. That kind of shit. He doesn't do that.
Right.
He literally will play. He's even played when he was hurt.
Right.
But, I mean, it's hard to find those guys now that can actually do that. And in all honesty, I feel like if they wouldn't have signed him, I feel like he would have went somewhere maybe for a year, then decided to retire, and then signed a one-day contract and retire with Pittsburgh. If it would have went that route. Now, do I think he's going to play all 6 years? Fuck no. No, it's going to be, I think it's going to be a maximum of 3 years he actually plays.
Well, that was going to be my next question is, you know, that's what I meant by monster deal was the fact that, I mean, he's been around the league a long time. He's on probably the back end of his career. I mean, is he going to be around that long is the question.
Now, that's the biggest thing. Being on the back end of the career, it's really hard to say after last year he had the best year of his career. Point total wise. Last year was the best year he's had. So I don't know. It's going to be hard, especially being a Pens fan, not seeing Crosby, Malkin, and Letang all on the same team. I mean, I've heard things come out that Seattle's looking at getting Malkin, but Malkin obviously is going to want, if Pittsburgh doesn't sign him, he's not going to want to go to anyone that is not a contender.
Right. No, I agree.
So, I mean, and when it comes to Malkin's game, too, it just seems like he's become lazy. Like a controller died kind of moment. taking stupid penalties. He's very selfish with the puck a lot of the time.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Now, that's where I'm really happy when they re-sign Jeff Carter.
Right.
Even though he's an older guy...
Thanks, Chris.
He definitely knows how to... He knows how to feed the puck to the open guy.
Yeah.
And half the time, he's in front of the net in the right spot. You know what I mean? So, especially with Hextall, and Hextall's always been like a gritty type of GM guy, wanting to get like bigger, tougher guys in there, and people willing to stand in front of the net like that and go into the dirty areas. I mean, I'm glad they got him. Now, they need somebody else. They need somebody. Now, I'm not saying like a Ryan Reeves kind of guy.
Which they had in Game Away, by the way.
Well, they need a guy who can be that dual threat. He can beat somebody's ass, but he can still play and won't sit the bench the whole time.
Yeah, I mean,
like I've heard who's that? I think he's either Delorier. Delorier's name was thrown around a little bit, maybe going to Pittsburgh. But they just need that guy there, just for, I mean, Crosby, he tries to get in place with people.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want your ace doing that. I mean, that's you don't want that.
No, he's literally the best player in the entire world, and he's pushing his mid-30s. Do you really want something to happen to him?
Right. So one thing, we'll stick on hockey here for a second, probably till the end of this. But anyways, the draft happened. Chris, what's your biggest shock of the NHL draft?
Shane Wright not going first overall.
I knew it was coming. I was waiting.
Did you see the death stare he gave somebody as soon as he got picked? Oh, he walked up on that stage and he looked like he was staring a hole through somebody's head.
Well, and that's what I said. You know, a few of my friends were texting me and says, what does that do to you? Use it as fucking motivation. And
yeah,
that's what that kid did. He stared a fucking hole through every GM, which I would have done the same fucking thing if I was, you know, that type of prospect. No, all of the props to you, man. I'm going to be buying your jersey now. I hope you go out there and you shove it up their ass and become Rookie of the Year in your first year, because that's the type of talent that I think this kid has. I mean, okay, does he wet the bed, or like, does he have bad knees? Like, what the fuck's the problem with this kid? How did he not go? I'm a little bit, you know, more pissed off that Logan Cooley had to go to Arizona. So that's why I was kind of hoping that.
Oh, God bless.
Yeah, because I was praying to God that Cooley was going to go anywhere but Arizona. I mean, this is a kid that I watched pretty much grow up to. I mean, I remember when he was playing there in Pittsburgh. So that's where a lot of my frustration is coming from. But, you know, being in that type of position before, I mean, obviously not like, you know, being a first round pick, but being overlooked before, that you just got to use it as motivation. And I'm rooting for this kid, and I pray to God that he comes out like a bat out of hell with rookie.
Yeah, I mean, that's insane. He was a can't miss prospect, correct? I mean, just one of those things, just had all the tools, everything that you would want.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't know if maybe there was an arrogance problem, attitude, he wet the bed at night, had wet dreams. I don't know, like something obviously they didn't like about him. But I mean, yeah, how I get it. Okay, you don't want to take him first overall. I mean, look, we saw it with Malkin and Ovechkin. Everybody thought Malkin was a clear cut first round or first overall pick, and they took Ovechkin. This kid dropped four spots.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I kind of had him and the other guy going maybe one and two. But to drop the number four, I don't know. So that was the biggest shock for me. But if you're a Penguins fan, I think you're extremely happy with that pick. You get a big physical defenseman that you've been looking for. I still couldn't figure out the goalie being taken in the fourth round. I mean, you fucking trade Callie Klang. Then you pick up another goaltender. I don't know. That one kind of... mind a little bit, but
he does have some really good stats though. He does.
Yeah, I am impressed with that. I was just kind of shocked, like I said, that they gave up Callie Klang and get another guy. But you know, I thought the Pittsburgh had a hell of a draft. I think they addressed what they needed. Because obviously the biggest thing was defensemen.
Yeah.
The only one that you really have that's waiting in the wings that's NHL ready right now is P.O. Joseph. So I mean, yeah, you really need to build that program. God knows what's going to go on with Almari now. You know, he signed overseas. Then you have the forward prospect in Bjorkqvist. He decided to go back overseas. Obviously, Joel Blomqvist is a question mark in goaltending now. So maybe that's another reason why they went with another goaltender. But, yeah, I really think it opens up a lot. And I think Pittsburgh had a pretty darn good draft.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those things. A lot of people said that... a lot of people were, I think, either trying to speak it into existence or just really hoping the fact that Flower was coming back home. But he signs a 2-year deal with the Wild, which honestly, he said he loves it out there. So, I mean, that's kudos to him. You know, maybe he's going to, you know, groom these new goaltenders, which probably he'll do anyways.
And then another piece of phenomenal news, according to my wife, is Pittsburgh re-signing Casey DeSmith for 2 more years.
So I actually have a crazy story about that. I mean, he might be a little pissed at me that I told this, but he actually had his house up for sale there in Pittsburgh.
Really?
For sure, he's up back.
Wow. Yeah. Huh.
So, I mean, you know, and that's great. And it's great in a lot of aspects because I love Casey DeSmith.
Right.
I love him as a person. True underdog story there. But here's the other thing. That really helps the hell out of Wheeling right now.
Doesn't it, though?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you look at the minor league system now. I mentioned it earlier. We don't know what's going to happen with Joel Blomqvist, whether he's going to stay over in Finland or not. But you have Taylor Gauthier on an NHL contract now. You have Philip Lindbergh. You have, I just lost my train of thought. Well, I mean, you have Tommy Napier on an AHL deal, too. So... you know, Wheeling is going to at least get an AHL contracted or NHL contracted goaltender here. Now, how do I feel about possibly two 21-year-olds being in Wheeling? I don't know. Not referring to Blomqvist and Gauthier, but I mean, you know.
But I mean, Weeks was here for that one playoff game, and he did not play bad at all. And he was only, what, 19?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he got the AHL deal with Rockford. So, I mean, you know, obviously they see something in him. But, I mean, I like it, though. I mean, if you get Blomqvist coming over, I really think they're going to run with Lindbergh, and they're going to run with one of those guys in Wilkes-Barre Scranton, and you're going to see Napier, and you're going to see possibly Gauthier down in Wheeling to get things started. So I think this is huge for the minor league system, especially when it comes to...
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things. And, you know, we're going to see the benefits of this. I mean, it's going to be great. I mean, and to have, you know, last season, a couple seasons, having two former Nailers, you know, in the goaltending room for Pittsburgh is just awesome. And that helps their stock.
And what also helps them as an organization, Pittsburgh-wise, is because the way the goaltending market is right now in the NHL, it would have been so hard to find a backup goalie for that type of cap-friendly deal that they got for Casey.
Well, right. Yeah, because, I mean, you look at the guys that were out there. Obviously, Jonas Korpisalo was the big name, but he re-signs with Columbus for at least one more year. But you're going to have Billy Hussel is going to be out there. But you know that kid is not looking for a backup deal. That kid's looking for with the numbers that he's put up this year. You know, one of the ones that I thought they were going to go after was Christopher Gibson, but that dude didn't even play a game in the show this year. He was entirely in the AHL. So, I mean, yeah, it's just not a big market for it right now. But, I could really see, you know, Casey making a big impact here. But the biggest thing is you got to pray that none of these guys go down unless Pittsburgh goes out and signs another goaltender like a Louis Domingue. But if they're going to stick with the guys that they have now, you have zero guys that have NHL experience behind these two. So you got to kind of keep that in mind too.
And plus, before Casey got hurt in that first round series, I mean, he played his ass off in game one against the Rangers. I mean, his ass off. And for Domingue to come in overtime like that, I mean, if they can get Domingue on a very, very friendly deal, I would pull the trigger on it quick.
Yeah, because somebody's gonna see that. Somebody's gonna.
And plus, especially if you have to use him, he's a lot tougher to prepare for because he's a full right goalie.
Right. Yeah. Well, and so I mean, look at Gauthier's the same way. Gauthier's got that, you know, right-handed too. So I mean, it's. I like what Pittsburgh's doing, kind of switching it up here, because you saw it with Dorio, you see it with Domingue, you're going to have it in Gauthier now too. So I mean,
because it's a whole different play style, playing a right hand glove, different.
Yeah, you have been playing absolutely. I mean, I've faced goalies like that in juniors, and it's a definite different animal. But I mean, Jeff, you know, we mentioned too, talk about our minor league system, and I can't do it because I'm holding my phone right now, but. Bravo, big claps to Derek Army with this core group that he has coming back now. Can only imagine what he's going to do in free agency. Derek Army, man, you are doing one phenomenal job. Keep up this great work, man, because you're putting together a very damn good hockey team.
Yeah,
he is exactly doing what we thought was going to do. They were going to do after the championship.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, but this they is didn't do. Right.
He's actually doing it.
Yeah, this has been years in the making of what we expected. There's a select group of us, and we shall remain nameless of the group I'm speaking of. But there's a lot of us that have a lot of years of experience. You guys definitely have a lot more than I do, but that know, you know, these different ins and outs of hockey and things, and you know. Kind of see things happening around the city, so.
And it's a lot different too, especially being from a minor league perspective. Because right. You see guys come and go all the time,
right?
But right. That championship year, it they had that core together. They would have did phenomenal things that next year. So Army got to the playoffs the first time in what? It's been 6 years, 5-6 years.
First try too.
Yeah, and now you're bringing that core group of guys back. And I have to say, they have that bully hockey mentality. They just don't give a shit. Any of them will fight anybody. It doesn't matter how big they are or anything. It's literally how it was during that season they went to the championship. And I hope he just capitalizes and finds some guys out there who are willing to play the same way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and it's the thing, too, you know, especially when I worked for the team, it was always the conversation is, you know, there has to be extra incentives to bring guys to Wheeling, West Virginia, beating against markets like Florida, you know, where it's very welcoming and everything. I get that. So yeah, you go with fancy houses, I get that. But you know how you do that? You build a fucking culture. You bring in a coach that's going to build a fucking culture. And you know what? With these first 8 signings, we have that guy that is going to build the culture. Players want to come and play for the Wheeling Nailers now. Because of, like you mentioned, the bully hockey mentality, the winning mentality, and just being part of something great, this is finally coming around here. Now, I'm pretty sure, I hate to say it, Derek Army, he's probably going to get an AHL coaching job here in the next few years. But Derek is building that culture. Guys want to come here and play. That's going to be all the makings for making a very good hockey team, making another championship run in West Virginia. I mean, like I said, Derek, I can't say it enough, man. You're fucking phenomenal. You know, we're going to enjoy you while we have you because, yeah, we know the AHL is going to be called soon and that you have that AHL gig very soon.
And let's be, in all honesty, Wheeling as a complete total franchise for the 30 years that they've been here, they have literally been, the years that they have been that bully hockey mentality team, they have absolutely thrived. Even when they were bottom feeding at the bottom of the division, and they were still that bully hockey team. You had people in the fucking seats.
Right. Because it was entertaining. And they wanted to watch it. Right.
But now you're getting guys with a higher, a way higher skill set that still play that way. They can still shoot, pass, skate, and be that brute force on the ice. And now you're getting all these guys coming to Wheeling and everybody else to get to see this. You're going to get more asses in the seats. And you're going to bring that mentality back to Wheeling that everybody's going to see him on the schedule and say, shit, we got to go to Wheeling to play him at home.
I tell you what, that playoff series, we all of us went to a couple different games. Man, it was awesome. The atmosphere was great. You could tell it was playoff hockey. Like, it was fantastic.
And think about it, too. The year before they went on their championship run, they lost to Toledo in the playoffs the year before. So what's going to happen this year?
Well, and I mean, and like
they
I
lost
said,
in overtime.
Yeah, they lost in Game 7 in OT to Toledo before they made the cup run. But, I mean, and look at that, too. And this is something that we all talked about when we were even sitting in that playoff series with Fort Wayne. That fucking team's been together for 3 or 4 years. Toledo has been together for 3 or 4 years. Now, this Wheeling team's going to be together for a little longer now. So, I mean, yeah, because look at Fort Wayne. I mean, they pretty much already re-signed their whole fucking team.
Right.
So you know that you're going to be playing against a team of guys that know each other. You got the same thing. And it all starts with that first signing with Cam Hossinger. So he is that five-tool player. He can put the puck in the net. He can pass. He can fight. He can hit. Then another guy that you signed, Felix Pare, he can do the same thing. That motherfucker can throw his hands like no other. He's a physical player. Okay, maybe he's not going to dazzle you with goals, but he's going to be in the right areas, set up these players to score goals. Fucking phenomenal. I mean, like I said, yeah, you lose Patrick Watley and you lose Matt Foley. We kind of saw that coming, but
right,
you know, Derek's going to go out in free agency and he's going to find himself a Watley. He's going to find himself going to be fine.
I know, because I mean, think about Parlay. Like he came straight from juniors.
Yes,
21. I mean, 21 years old, and he's that type of player that you want to have on your team, and he found him. Like. He definitely has a knack for scouting kids to get him to come. I mean, God only knows what's going to happen this year.
Yeah, well, right. It's exciting to see. And, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about it 1,001 times on here over and over again. And, we'll go to games like we always do. But next thing coming around is, Chris, football season's getting ready to come around. So we're getting ready for that. So Friday nights, we'll definitely be busy. Jordan, you're going to have to come hang out with us at least one time. It's a good time. We have a blast with it, man. But
I think I already picked my game, though. I think I picked it.
Oh, yeah?
I think I picked it. Yeah, I think I'm gonna come hang out with you guys when St. Steve plays Ferry this year.
Oh, there you go. That'll be a good one. We'll talk about that one once it gets closer, because the resurgence...
I got a coworker that has his son plays for Ferry, and the kid's a monster.
That yeah, the resurgence in Martin's Ferry is real. Coach Kropka is going to bring it, and I can't wait. I played against him when he was coaching at Harrison, and, man, the guy is just a wizard. He knows how to bring it, and that attitude's going to be back in Martins Ferry. I can't wait to see it. But, yeah, we'll definitely touch that when we get there. Guys, it's been so great to get back together. Hopefully we can all get back in the studio here soon. If not, we'll definitely bring you the podcast this way. It's a great thing about technology is we have the technology, just got to figure it out. Sometimes takes me a little bit, but we'll figure it out. We'll get content to you. Big shout out to our boy Sean, who wasn't feeling well tonight. Hopefully he'll join us again next week from the land. We got some crazy things happening up there. The Guardians are playing crazy. That whole thing's going nuts. He'll probably have more insight on the whole Baker Mayfield incident with everything going on and, you know, Watson.
Astros.
But yeah, we listen, guys, what makes our friend group as fun as it is, everybody does not like the same team. In every sport, everybody almost has a different team in every sport.
Except for one.
Really?
Penguins, baby.
Well, I would say Chris is a Kings fan, so that's why I mean. Everybody
else but Chris.
That's what everybody I mean. Every sport, somebody has somebody different. It just depends. I mean, it just depends on the sport, and that's what makes it so much fun. And everybody's at each other's throats, and that's what makes it fun, and that's why we have this podcast, because we love talking about sports. Because if not, we drive our significant others crazy, and they're like, get away from me. Because...
I know, I gotta apologize to Kaylee all the time when I start talking about football.
It's just, yeah, it's just, go talk to your friends. Go talk to them about it. They know more about it. Well, guys, thank you for hanging out. Thank you for joining me. We'll do it again all next week. Hopefully, if nothing crazy happens between everybody's schedule, but we'll bring you the next podcast as soon as we can. We'll catch you guys later.
Peace.